I don't know about that thing. Hi, folks. My name is Mo, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mo.
Does this beep at the end of an hour and a half, or what happens here? Close up? No? No, it just goes? Geez, I've never talked to one of these things before. I did, however, speak one time into a microphone way back, I guess, about 12 years ago. CFCF asked the public information, which Sharon and I were part of at one time, to go in and share a story on talking radio. And so a lady and I both did so. And it's amazing. We got a lot of feedback. A lot of people phoned me at my office and said that how much they enjoyed our share on CFCF. And it was very simple. All we did was just tell our story in a shortened version, and then had people phone in. And it was quite interesting. We got a lot of different questions, and of course we gave them a lot of different answers, but not specifically different in the way that it was different to AA. We gave an answer that's exactly what they wanted to hear. What does an AA member do on weekends when he's not drinking? I'll give you a little highlight. First of all, the Friday night was a meeting. Saturday was visiting three different grave sites. Sunday morning was church. Sunday afternoon was visiting two members, one of which is recovering from a knee operation or hip operation, and another one which is an older member of AA. So, and here I am Sunday night at a meeting. So I think what Karen said was very true. I am very active in AA, and I have been for 19 years. I mentioned 19 years. You'll hear me a couple of times about 19 years. In the big book, there's a story there on page 32, which states that there was a gentleman who went as a dry drunk for 25 years. And the reason he decided to do that, his drinking was getting out of control, and his business was going nowhere. So he decided, until his kids got an education and his bills were paid up and his business was back on track, that he was going to lay off the bottle. And he did so for 25 years. And then, like a lot of alcoholics who think that they have this disease beat, he decided one night to sit in front of the fireplace and get a pair of slippers and a bottle of whatever he was drinking, and decided to get very drunk. And within a very short space of time, he was back in the hospital. And a very short space of time after that, he was dead through alcoholism. Well, my story is obviously not quite the same, but I did go for exactly 19 and a half years as a dry drunk. I didn't have a drink for 19 and a half years. And that came about by visiting my family doctor after an altercation at home, and was told that if I didn't stop drinking, I was going to kill somebody, or I was going to kill myself. I was in advanced stages of stomach inflammation, and my whatever that organ is that's in there was shot. And so if I didn't stop drinking, I was going to die. I was a very heavy drinker, incidentally. And I was a very heavy drinker from the age of God knows what. I don't quite honestly remember when I started to drink, but it was an early age. And all of my family are all dead through alcoholism, with the exception of my mother. And how my mother ever put up with a bunch of drunks like my father and I, God knows how she did it, but she must be up there smiling now and saying, boy, Moritz, you're doing all right, because now you're sharing your message, of which I wanted to hear before I passed away. So I went for all that time without alcohol. And like the guy, I thought that I had this disease beat. And so I did the logical thing. I went to a restaurant with my then wife and ordered a bottle of wine. And God forbid, she thought that was going to be a bottle for her. but I fooled her because the bottle was for her and I. And that was the first night. And the second night, well, it was another bottle, and, you know, the progression goes on and on and on. And I went for 6 years like that before I came into the program. I thought that I was invincible. I could drink because I was not drinking for all those many years. And, you know, for a couple of years, that actually did happen. I was a dry drunk, as I said, for all those many years. And, you know, for the first couple of years, I mean, nothing affected me. I could just drink day and night and day and night, and nothing seemed to really happen. But, you know, with age and a lot of booze, things caught up to me, and I was just, you know, fell into the program of AA. I didn't fall into the program of AA. I was drinking a lot with a couple of buddies up in the West Island, one of which was a friend of mine who happened to be an airline pilot. And he was driving home one night in a drunken stupor, and he driving home with no lights, and because he'd been driving for 2 years without his license, and he was very, very drunk. And he thought, well, if I drive home with the lights off, nobody's going to see me. You know, stupid thinking that we have. Yeah. And so, unfortunately, he killed three guys on his way home. Bango. And we were watching this on TV at the club in the West Island. We said, jeez. You know, all the lawyers around the table, oh, God, I wonder what's going to happen to him and his bad booze, and he'll get a good lawyer, he'll get off, and so on. You know how we talk in a bar, you know, we're going to cure everybody's problems, and we're going to take up a collection for his lawyer, and so on and so forth, which was a whole lot of BS because, well, he had more money than we had, and he was an airline pilot. Anyway, as it happened, he was sentenced to 4 years in jail, and I had the opportunity of giving him his first year cake. He was allowed out of prison for his first year, and I gave him his first year cake. Not that I'm very proud of that, but he asked me to do so, and so I did so, trying to help another alcoholic. Anyway, he finally got out of jail, and et cetera, et cetera, and he wasn't allowed to drive a car for 10 years, but I've lost track of him. I wrote a nice letter of recommendation to one of his bosses, not that it meant anything because they didn't know who the hell I was, saying that, you know, he was a good guy and he hadn't drank for a year or so on. So I just lost track of him. I don't know where the hell he is now. Anyway, that when the day that I discovered that I was in big trouble was the day I looked out of my apartment window in Dollard. I was on the second floor of an apartment. By that time, I'd been shooed out of the house, and my car was a little roughed up, and I could not remember what had happened to me. Couldn't remember at all. And I thought about it and said, Jesus, you know, I'd been on this was January the 5th, and I knew I was on a monthly drunk by that time, and I couldn't remember where the hell I was or who I was with, or I don't know, remember the accident and so on. And it kind of scared me a little bit. And the flash came to me that, gee whiz, well, maybe I'd caused somebody some damage, and I better do something about this. By that time, I knew that my sponsor was in the program. He had been in the program for, by that time, 12 years, I guess. And I found him, and he asked me to meet him and go to a meeting. And I said, where is the meeting? And he directed me to my home group, which I've been a very faithful member of for almost, here's that, 19 years again. So I showed up there, and, you know, it happened. The miracle happened right then and there. I have not had a drink or smoke in all that time. It'll be coming up to 19 years in January. So you're looking at a real holy roller here. Anybody who can stop drinking and smoking the same day to me is, you know, you're very successful. And I thought, and I still do, that I was very successful in giving both, because I know, first of all, how difficult it is to give up drinking just by going to a whole ton of meetings and knowing that a lot of people cannot do it, and a lot of people cannot give up smoking, and how difficult that is. And here I was, just because of sheer will, I guess, or sheer terrified of whatever the outcome would be of giving up both. So I felt and feel to this day very, very fortunate that I was able to do that. A bit of the background, as I said, I don't remember my first drink, and I just, you know, carried on from there. Various things that happened to me. My first marriage went down the drain. And between my first and second marriage, something happened that I was living with this lady, and we had a baby, and she was still married, and I was still married, and we were both drunks, and we didn't know what to do with this little girl, so we decided to give her up for adoption. And, not that long ago, about 6 years ago, a few things happened in my life. I get a phone call from the social service, and did you know so-and-so? And in the meantime, they were looking for me to try and figure out who the father was of this child, and the mother had been gone by that time, and who the mother was and who the father was, and it just went on to a whole series of Anyway, so finally, I get a call at the house and about this girl, and are you so-and-so? And I sheepishly said no. Then I thought about it, and I talked to my partner about it. And a week after, I sat in my office and I phoned her, because she had left me her phone number, and did admit that I was indeed the father of this child. A great association happened from then on, because it was just great that, you know, they tell you in the promises not to regret the past, I wish to shut the door on it. Well, I shut the door on it only for a very short space of time, but after that it was open, and it's gone extremely well since then. I mean, my present three daughters that I had before this have met this lady, and so now I've got an extended family, which I knew about, but you know how we tend to forget, don't we? I mean, alcoholics, we tend to forget what we did yesterday, and I'm a great believer, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What happened yesterday should be gone, but in this case, it shouldn't be gone, because after all, it was, you're playing around with somebody's life. So there we are now with four daughters, and by this time my second marriage has gone down the drain, and that's why I moved into the apartment. I have been a very, very faithful member of AA since day one. I do telephones. I was I'm still, believe it or not, as of 2 years ago, back into GSR, because nobody does the GSR at our meeting, so I figured, well, rather than not have anybody represent our group, I do GSR. Did the prison meetings. I still, to this day, do the telephones. And I tell you why I do all of this, because my medallion says, keep going, January the 5th, 1987. And the keep going part, when my sponsor gave me this, he couldn't quite figure out what keep going means. And to me, it meant a lot then, and it means a lot now. Even after all these years, I keep going to an average of 5 meetings a week. And I keep going to those meetings because I don't want to go back to what I was. You know, I look back and think of what an asshole I was, that, you know, after 19 and a half years of being a dry drunk and having a relatively good life, although I must admit, I wasn't totally happy those 19 and a half years, because I didn't have the form like I have now to express myself. And anyway, so that's it. I don't want to go back there. It's just, life is just too good to go back there. It's funny, we were talking about this, we highlighted this just a little bit last night, that just thinking of the money that I have saved in the last 19 years is astronomical. I could average, I'm sure, with the drinking and, you know, the car accidents, which we all go through and so on, it had to be $100 a week. So figure that $100 a week for a year, it's X amount of dollars, and multiply that by 19 years, You know, it's an astronomical amount of money. It just adds and adds and adds, you know. I don't know where the money is today, but, you know, it's not there either. But anyway, it's at least I didn't have to borrow or steal or whatever things we do when we're hungry and thirsty that we need a drink. Some of us do some stupid, terrible things, try to get enough money to do all those things. We went to a meeting on Tuesday night, and it was the topic was signalness of purpose, and it was trying to figure out, you know, well, what should we accept? And those words didn't really come out, but I guess that was the tone of the whole thing. What should we accept in AA? Is AA AA or is AA CA? Is AA, you know, dual addiction and so on and so forth? And I got up and my little 10-minute spiel was, I said, well, you know, if we close the door on people other than pure alcoholics, AA is gone. We will no longer exist as a pure AA. So you have to admit and share your message and them with us about the duly addicted people. And it was very, very strange. Last Monday at our meeting, we had a newcomer come in, and you know the way you can spot them just like that. And I got up and I talked to him, and he was in a rehab center. And I said, well, which rehab are you in? He's up north. I said, well, what's the name of it? He gave me the name, and I couldn't figure out. You know what it was? He was in a rehab. He was addicted to the computer. They came all the way up from somebody in the States, sent him up here, as an addiction to computers. Now, so here we are, we're AA, we're CA, we're all the other A's, and now we're computers AA. It's just amazing how many people find us, because it's a nice, supposedly a nice softer way of dealing with your addictions. So, you know, in any of your meetings, if you see some strange people coming in or stranger people coming in, you know, you've just got to admit that, you know, we're there to help them, and if they want some help, regardless of what their addiction may be, we're here to help them. Because, as you know, an awful lot of people just follow the 12 steps. They pattern their program after the AA program from way back in 1935. As I said, I go to a tremendous amount of meetings. I enjoy a lot of people. We do a little bit of traveling, and wherever we go, we try to find an AA meeting. And some of them are stranger than others, but then again, what the hell are you going to do about it? That's the way life is, right? I don't know how many minutes I've spoken here and whether I'm going to be on the television or whatever the system here. This is not television, because I didn't shave tonight, so. Hey there, how are you? All right, so that's my tale of woe for tonight. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be at any meeting. Sunday night is no different than Friday or Saturday night. It just, to me, it's just another meeting, and I don't say no, I'm going to tell you. The percentage of times that I say no to an AA meeting is only because there's something else in my life, right? I love AA. I love what it does for me. I love it because I stay sober, and I love it because I meet a lot of people who are trying to stay sober as well. So that's it for me, folks. I want to thank you all very much for being here, and happy 24 hours. Thank you.